We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. It's time now for the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joined by longtime color analyst Stan Weber, and we get you set for the Dillon's Sunflower Showdown. It's Kansas State and Kansas in football on Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. We will hit the air bright and early at 9 a.m. with the pregame show. We'll kick just after 11 o'clock. Both of these teams, when you look at the records, they're identical. 3-6 for the Cats and the Jayhawks, and 1-5 for each team in the Big 12. Stan, I think much more was expected, obviously, out of Kansas State this year, but you have to give Kansas some credit. They have already fired David Beatty. He will coach out the rest of the season, but they've won three games this year compared to three in the three previous years. I guess I'll start with this. Were you surprised he didn't survive this?
No, I'm not surprised that he didn't survive. I think when they hired Jeff Long as the athletic director, they pretty much had signed off that there is going to be a new coach at the University of Kansas for the 2019 season. You know, it's just a matter of how was it going to play out this year, and unless David Beatty just rolled through and had a bowl-eligible team and probably beaten K-State and all those things, would he survive? I think that Jeff Long made a very strategic decision, a smart one, when he, at the beginning of this week, said that David Beatty is no longer going to be the coach, because you had a weird situation where Kansas fans were actually not rooting for their team to be successful, not rooting for them to win, maybe not even happy that they won a game against TCU, but worried that they might go on the road, beat a K-State team, and David Beatty save his job. So that has been taken off the board. Now all Jayhawk fans can definitely root for their team, and everyone can say, we hope David Beatty goes over there and upsets the Wildcats, and we'll all be happy, but he still has not changed his job status. So I thought Jeff Long handled it very, very well this week. It's going to make it harder for K-State to win the game, because I think it was a brilliant psychological move. There's going to be some players going to be wanting to play for David Beatty and mad and want to show that their coach should have been given a chance to coach next year. There'll be others who just say all the distractions are gone, and I think that's a true statement of the coaching staff. The Kansas coaching staff can get back to work, not worry about are they going to be let go, how's the decision going to come down, do they have a chance, all those things. Have the speculation and fans not even wanting them to win. That's all taken off the board. And the last thing I think Jeff Long did very well is he didn't make David Beatty box his stuff up and walk out of the building, because that would have caused dysfunction and would have been a tough thing for the Jayhawks this week. But they didn't do that. They said, go ahead and coach. You're the offensive coordinator. You're the head coach. Let's get to work and see if you can compete with K-State and play like you did against TCU. So I think from a psychological standpoint, KU did everything right to prepare themselves for this game against K-State.
All right, now let's look at it from the K-State perspective. It's been a disappointing season. No one is hiding from that fact. There has been a lot of speculation as to whether Bill Snyder will coach next year. I'm just curious as to kind of where you are sitting right now in thinking about how difficult that would be for Coach Snyder. He's been here for a long, long, long time. He's been hugely successful. It's got to be most difficult on him. And yet I think we all know kind of what the fans are saying. Is it time? That's a question, not a statement. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think the most important thing is just determine what Coach Snyder thinks about the situation and what he wants to do. And I have no idea where that lands. And therefore, when you go to the next questions, most of them just become question marks because he's the lead person to really sort through this kind of thing. Does he need to go? Is the football passed him by? Those kind of things. I would say no, absolutely not. I mean, if he were just rolling along and finished off this season and not making a big deal of it but continuing on to the next season, I would think that's fine. I'm totally comfortable with that. So it's really what Coach Snyder wants to do. Everyone else is trying to decide for him that a disappointing season is going to change what he is going to do, or do you get the message that he signed a new 5-year contract, that he's committed to go longer, or he has a struggling season, and therefore he has said it's time to put up the coaching clipboard. You know, I don't know. I really have no idea, but I have no problem where Coach Snyder lands on this. I know a lot of fans are quick to say that Bill Snyder's run into a roadblock here and it's time for him to move on. I think the roadblock is different than what everyone else thinks, Wyatt. Completely different. This season did not unfold the way that you would hope. Things are not where you would want them to be. But if you sort it through, I can make a case that if you hit the reset button, it's 2019, these same things aren't going to happen. There's going to be an argument for every point, I understand.
Sure.
But how about this? Just think about this one. K-State had three opportunities with either a 27-yard field goal or a PAT. Three chances in the game against TCU. They made one of them. Okay, in what world do you think, Wyatt, that that is reasonable and expected going forward? Is that bad coaching? Is that bad coaching that K-State right now has just such a black cloud hanging over it that they don't even know if they're going to make a PAT or make a field goal? Are you kidding me? That has nothing to do with coaching. Oh, the snapper for K-State, he wasn't recruited properly. What? That doesn't register with me, Wyatt. All K-State had to do is make a PAT and make a field goal, and they would have won against TCU. K-State has made one field goal the last five games. Okay, they've missed two PATs.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor and TCU, both of them, you could argue, cost K-State the game. If K-State would have made the PAT against Baylor, it would have been a tie game. K-State would have been up by one and put a lot of game pressure on Baylor and probably would have got out of there with a victory. So they lose those two close games. They lose a close game against Texas, and suddenly the program is in disarray and never going to win again. Sorry, I don't see it that way. Now, if you want to tell me, can you believe your kicker got injured and he was out for, you know, I'm talking about these games, why haven't they made field goals? Well, what about the kicker being injured? What about the quarterbacks being injured right and left? What about your best player, Duke Shelley, not available after he had a two-interception game against Oklahoma State and things were looking up? You know, so I don't look at this year's team and what's happened, Wyatt, as what the 2019 team is going to look like. That's the big difference between my mindset. This isn't Coach Snyder coaching poorly that Duke Shelley's not available to play. Where does that come in? Oh, he doesn't have enough backups. He doesn't have didn't recruit well enough, Wyatt. That's what you might hear. He didn't recruit well enough to have the right backups. Well, I'll also say this. I've been studying K-State football a long time, Wyatt, and the fact that K-State doesn't have superstar quality depth at quarterback or other positions is not something new, okay? If you go back and look at the teams that Bill Snyder's coached for much of his career, if they got hit by a bunch of injuries and lost a little momentum and had some negativity around that just you can't describe, they can't easily overcome it, okay? But he somehow found a way. How about 2015 when they were in worse shape or equal shape what they are right now, 3-6, and they won their last three games?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but my point is, Not to get on my soapbox. It's just I don't see the panic of saying this is a Coach Snyder issue. Okay?
Yeah.
This is when stuff doesn't go wrong. I've been around here in 1992, 2001, 2015, mm-hmm. and 2018 where the ball just would not bounce correctly, you know, from even officials' interpretations. There's all kinds of things. When, you know, hey, my son's Landry Weber. You think I kind of paid attention to the fact that he was at the goal line tipping the ball back, Wyatt?
Yes.
If the officials would have ruled otherwise, and I've seen no angle that says it is a good call or a bad call, but the officials sat there and talked for a while. If they would have put the ball down at the 6-inch yard line, I propose that TCU wouldn't have had a 67-yard touchdown play about 4 or 5 plays later.
Yeah.
Okay? That came out of nowhere. That's why TCU won the game. It was a dead-even game back and forth. K-State probably slightly the better team, even with all the bad plays, muffed punts, missed field goals and PATs, all those things, Wyatt, that's reason to lose. K-State deserves to lose for doing that. But guess what? If the officials would have marked the ball down right there, TCU into a strong win, backed up at its own goal line, would probably have punted the ball within 6 plays. They might have got a first down. They may have got 2. But they're probably no further than the 30-yard line. They're not hitting a 67-yard touchdown pass to Rager, which flipped the game in just a one-play aberration type of play when A.J. Parker was right there, and suddenly TCU has the lead. So, and I can go down scheduling philosophies. TCU, you know why TCU's in the shape they are, Wyatt? Because they played Ohio State.
That's right.
Okay, no, a lot of people aren't going to go with that. Let me tell you, I have some very good information of people who I'm really not going to say who agrees with me, but it matters who agrees with me, okay? And TCU, if they wouldn't have played Ohio State, season would be completely different right now, and they would be knocking on the door to be in the Big 12 championship game. Okay? But they got decimated by injuries, and they played Ohio State, which helped decimate them with injuries and set them back mentally. Guess what? K-State, same thing. Do you know Mississippi State has given up less touchdowns than any team in the country this year? Sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know Alabama's the greatest of all time, and Clemson's awesome, but Mississippi State has given up the least number of touchdowns, and that's the team K-State had to play with a Colin Klein lookalike, the worst matchup you can imagine. If K-State would have played New Mexico State and TCU would have played New Mexico State, K-State would be sitting here breathing fine, sitting right on top of bowl eligibility or being already bowl eligible and a dangerous team to make a run down the stretch. And instead, everyone says that this thing's broken to be never fixed. I can't go there, Wyatt.
Yeah.
I don't know why the black cloud is hanging over K-State. You know, when Skylar Thompson gets tackled, didn't look like that hard of hit on the head, and yet he's out of the game with some kind of head injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's just that year. I mean, what the heck's going on? I'm sitting around going to the you know, myself, I'm going, are you kidding me? When's this going to end? But I don't necessarily look and say, oh, this is just a disaster. Coach Snyder can't coach anymore. I think it's more of the happenstance of things that happen, scheduling, Mississippi State, et cetera, that put them in this situation. So if you said, could you reload and play well in 19? I know no reason why that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, very good insight. Appreciate that. This is the Wildcat Weekly Podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. The Wildcat Podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them, and by BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Jayhawks and what they will bring to Manhattan on Saturday for the 11 a.m. game. Our coverage on the K-State Sports Network starts bright and early at 9 a.m. I want to start, first of all, with their offense because they have a young player in their program right now who is really getting a lot of play in the league, and rightfully so. He's a running back. He wears number one. His name is Puka Williams. This kid is not only a terrific run threat, but also is their second leading receiver. What are the challenges that he brings to Kansas State this weekend?
Well, he just has a natural knack of having a wiggle and can attack and make you miss. So if you flip the ball, they love to throw the ball out to the flat to him. He might only have 2 or 3 yards there, but it's very unlikely that the first defender is going to make a tackle. I mean, it's more likely than not he can get by the first guy. And anytime that happens, Wyatt, you have a pretty good play that you can just run. A simple play, flip the ball to him, and he's looking at the 5 to 7 yard gain level before you have any chance of tackling. And then in a running game, if the first guy doesn't get a little bit of a lick on him and slow him down, he can make that 5 to 7 yard run 15 or 20 very quickly. What really makes Kansas good, though, is the fact that everyone wants to talk about Puka Williams, but Herbert is actually a very good back.
Truly.
And for over 200 yards against West Virginia, and as a changeup back, he's actually hurt people more, Wyatt, because it seems like when number one's in there, everyone's got their antennas very high on the defensive side, watching his every move. And then when he runs to the sideline to take a quick break, it's almost as if the defense also takes a break. Okay, now we're okay. And then here comes Herbert busting through for a 30-yard run. He's physical. He's fast enough. He's a very good back as well. So they really have a 1-2 punch in their running game. And while David Beatty has been sorting through wanting to run offense that is an air raid type of thing and what he's known in that passing game, I think Kansas has been missing the boat, not only because they have Puka, but just overall trying to throw the ball so much. And they finally, I think because of Puka Williams and his impact, they finally started running the ball, and they've become a better team. And so one of the reasons why I think they let go of offensive coordinator Meacham, because it seemed like all he wanted to do is throw, and that actually gave the opponent a better chance to stop Kansas. So I think they found the rhythm. What makes them dangerous is they run the ball now, and that'll be the challenge for K-State. Can they slow that KU running game down?
Let's talk about KU defensively. I think there are some individuals that we could talk about, but the one thing that really sticks out, and everyone talks about this too, is that turnover margin. They are third in the nation in turning people over. That's a big, big, big difference from just 1 year ago. That's been the key to their season, in my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable, Wyatt, and quite the turnaround, because last year they were the worst in the country in turnover margin. I'm not saying that literally like they were the 130th, but they were right there. They
right.
turned over the football too much, but they didn't get turnovers as well. And while they had some good defensive players, Armstrong, for instance, was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. Joe Denine's the leading tackler in the country this year and was very good last year. All those kind of things. Mike Lee, you can go down the list of good defenders. They didn't turn people over. So at the end of the day, it was a bad scenario. This year, everything's changed, and it just seems like the ball is like a magnet bouncing their way. Now, give them credit. They have a confidence that they're going to get the ball, either with interceptions, tip passes, interceptions, fumbles. But the biggest fumble of the year by TCU was on a play where Kansas had nothing to do with it. A running back on a first down and goal situation inside the 10 runs up the middle for a couple yards, runs into his lineman in kind of a butt fumble type of play, ball drops on the ground, and Kansas alertly jumps on it. But did they create the fumble? I just talked about the black cloud hanging over K-State for some reason this year. That turnover white cloud has been hanging over Kansas. The ball just seems to be going their way. And it's a big differential in this game, Wyatt, because if Kansas continues to turn you over, and that's a core part of the way they're going to play defense, then they become a very hard team to beat. But can K-State, one of K-State's strengths is not turning over the football. Even when they play teams that are good at turning it over, they a lot of times can just turn that spigot off. And if we go this game and K-State's able to keep the football and not give it away, that wouldn't be that big a surprise. And suddenly you take a big strength away from the Jayhawks. So if KU gets no turnovers, let's now evaluate how the game unfolds.
Sure.
I still think they have the athletes, especially Joe Denine. I love the way this kid plays.
Great player.
And I think they're doing a good job with their defensive coordinator and how they're designing things. It's all very smart. They've got some good players. Mike Lee will come up and hit you. Tornadin is a guy who's very athletic. They've wise on the line. I mean, they got good guys, but if you take the turnovers away, you might change the equation slightly of how good their defense has played this year. It's going to be a must for K-State to play a clean game and not turn over the ball against KU.
Let's run through the Big 12 schedule for the weekend. TCU will be at West Virginia, and KU and K-State are the 11 a.m. games. Baylor is at Iowa State at 2:30. Bedlam, Oklahoma State at Oklahoma, is at 2:30. And then Texas at Texas Tech at 6:30. I guess I will ask you specifically about that one, and in large part, frankly, because we will see the Red Raiders in Manhattan a week from Saturday. Texas You know what? I still think they're a pretty good football team, despite that crushing loss at home to West Virginia. How do you see this one playing out? I think that's going to be a heck of a good football game.
Yeah, I think it'll be very tight. You know, the one question that you have, Wyatt, is the reaction from the last game. Both teams psychologically are going to be in a tough situation.
Truly.
Texas Tech played so well against Oklahoma. I mean, they look like every version of Texas Tech you could ever want in the past. The positives of scoring back and forth. But they also are a team that can slow it down, play smart football, play better defense. I like the way Texas Tech is playing football. But how much did that take out of them, the shootout against Oklahoma? You go home and everyone's patting you on the back and respecting your football team. But the fact is, they fought hard and lost a close game on the road to Iowa State, came back home, fought hard, but lost to Oklahoma. Are they really going to be able to find deep down a confidence level to go after Texas? I know they hate Texas, but why? They exerted a lot of energy against Oklahoma. And I just expressed how TCU exerted a lot of energy against Ohio State, and it affected them the next week. And K-State exerted a lot of energy against Mississippi State, and it affected them in the near future after that. So it worries me a little bit that we may not see the full version of Texas Tech because of what they've been through, especially last week against Oklahoma. But, I know you're ready to say, but Texas took the big punch in the gut, right? They lost on a two-point conversion play in a game they definitely could have won. And it meant a lot. I mean, they were likely to be in the Big 12 championship game if they would have held on and won that game. And they're still sitting there going, okay, how are we going to do in overtime? No, you don't get to go to overtime. They made the two-point conversion. You lost. It's shocking for a Texas player. So this game has a lot of psychological factors of who can bring their game. I like how both teams are playing right now, Wyatt. It truly is a feature fun game. It's underrated around the country because a lot of people don't really care what happens to Texas Tech. They only care what's happening to Texas, and a little less now that they lost a second game this year. But there's a lot at stake. You know, Texas is still fighting for that opportunity to be in the Big 12 championship game. Texas is really good, but they cannot find that fifth or sixth gear, if that makes sense. I mean, they're like a good working truck, okay? A truck you'd have out in the western Kansas. And, I mean, that thing is so reliable. Doesn't matter how cold it is going to keep chugging along. It's going to be there for you every day, and you love that truck. You may have a good stereo in it or something, but you love that truck.
Sure.
And it's reliable. But this is not Ferrari time, okay? They don't have it in them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Texas plays football this year like K-State plays football. If you can remember, if you're listening to this and you can remember when K-State football was K-State football, I know a lot of people think, oh, I can't remember ever having a good play. I can't ever remember, oh, K-State, something good happening. But Wyatt, when you look at Bill Snyder's coaching, they played football the way Texas does. And therefore, it should be a close game. They are not going to hammer Texas Tech. They're going to have to slowly and methodically move down the field, play good defense, play good offense, play good special teams, and just never get tired of doing the right thing and believe it's going to turn out okay. That won't be as easy as it's been in the past because Texas Tech is going to be hard to break. They also can shift into that gear. And that's what's going to be interesting next week, Wyatt, when we talk about Texas Tech, is it's a different version of Red Raider team that will be coming into Manhattan. They play a style that's a little bit more like K-State. But the real K-State this year is Texas. K-State could have beat Texas. If they would have driven the ball down the field late in the game, Wyatt, when they had a chance, if they wouldn't have taken that safety in the first half and given up those 2 points and that momentum and field position, K-State could have won against Texas this year. Texas is playing football exactly the way K-State could have and wants to. It was just that, you know, this year it's not happening, but it could have happened. And there is a little bit more optimism in the bodies of those K-State players and in Bill Snyder's coaching than I think most people can see right now.
You bet. Well, we certainly hope to see you at Bill Snyder Family Stadium on Saturday for the Dillon Sunflower Showdown as K-State plays host to the Kansas Jayhawks. The Cats, as you all know, have won the last 9 meetings in this series, and it's not an astonishing 22 of the last 27 dating back to 1991. We'll hit the air at 9 a.m. on Saturday on the K-State Sports Network. Our Wildcat Weekly podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening to the Wildcat Weekly podcast, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.